right on the podcast today. We have Coach Evan Hott. He's a Christian, husband to Madeline, father to Sadie and Rocco, godfather to Chancellor, and you can find him on Twitter at CoachPrimeRTP. Coach was the head coach at Elkins High School here in West Virginia. He won the first ever playoff game at Elkins as the head coach. And I know you really enjoy listening to this podcast. All right. We got Coach Evan Hott on the podcast. Coach, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me tonight, Coach.
Yeah, buddy. I think we're both living like the – we both have small kids' lives. We got to do this like late at night because we have kids trying to put to bed.
Yeah, absolutely. It was funny when you – I didn't know how you would receive that text because I was like, well, Sadie goes to bed typically around 8:30, so anytime after that's good. So.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man.
It's fun.
Yeah, this is usually when I do them. Like it's at night and just trying to, you know, make myself a better coach, you know, trying to figure out like, hey, what are the guys that are really good coaches do and gain wisdom from them.
Absolutely. Cause I feel like every coach has taken ideas from somebody else. I don't feel like there's any really original thoughts anymore. Everything is stolen or revamped in some sort of way. So any way that the coaching community can make each other better, I'm all for it.
Oh, no doubt, man. I'm thinking about all the guests I've had on and, you know, just ideas I've taken and stolen. And you're definitely going to steal some from you, Coach. So, you know, we're all idea bandits around here, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Awesome, man. Well, Coach, if you don't mind, please give the listeners some background about yourself and then we'll go from there.
All right. So I was born and raised in Elkins. My playing career was 04 to 06. Went to Fairmont State and graduated with a degree in phys ed and health education, and came back to Elkins in 2012. Was an assistant coach and a freshman coach. And 2015, I was named defensive coordinator. 2017, named head coach. So my dad was the head coach from 1997 to 2016. So I made my way from cowboy and ball boy and everything all the way to head coach. So I pretty much held every position there is on the football side.
And that's awesome. I obviously have not like stayed and coached where I was born and stuff, but that's gotta be an interesting dynamic for you. So your dad was the head coach and then like trying to like figure out, what do I do? How do I do it? Like, how did you make the decision to stay where you were and not try to like branch out, I guess?
Well, I always had pride, and I wanted to instill pride that I had with the orange and black, with the young guys that were coming up. And I really wanted to work with dad because I just felt like it was a special relationship, and I wanted to expand on that. And because I actually had a job in a conference school coming out of college, but I turned it down because I wanted to come back and just start and hopefully finish my career with Elkins. And like I said, just kind of help dad out and help guide those young guys that I had watched in Pop Warner and be around them and try to expand their growth as young people and football players.
That's awesome, man. I mean, you led them to the first playoff win in school history, right? If I remember correctly, that's awesome.
Yeah, we were 0-5 in 80 and in 92. We went up against Brooke, who was a perennial powerhouse. And 2003, we beat University. That was my freshman year. Beat University in the regular season and lost in the playoffs. And 2011, lost to Hurricane. And 2012, lost to Huntington. So we've been to the dance, but we didn't quite make it the way we wanted to. So it was definitely cool to kind of etch our name in history, because that was something that we talked about that week, of telling the boys that they pretty much had the pen and the book was empty, so that they could write whatever they wanted to. And I know those guys were hungry, and it was a special group.
And that's awesome. We played Sissonville week 3, because the way our schedule went, game 3, and man, they they were good. And I when you guys came and beat them, I said, man, coach has got that thing going. You guys did a really good job.
Yeah, it was they were something because, I mean, the quarterback was dynamic. He could throw well, mm-hmm. and we were scared what he could do on the ground because we knew we had to contain the pocket against him because we definitely didn't want to get him out and going. And Griffith, mm-hmm. I mean, he ran for over 1,000 yards and I think five and a half games. Yeah. He was a stud. He ran like he was possessed, and their line was huge. And, I mean, they were well-coached, and we knew we had our hands full watching on film, and but we were just excited to show people that what we could do, and because we didn't feel like we were a 16 seed. And I talked to one of my principals there a couple of weeks ago, and he's actually the basketball coach, and we just talked about the competition in the Big Ten Conference and how there are so many good schools, and we just beat up on each other. And that was my first time being in the playoffs, and we've came close, but we've lost too many games in conference, and other teams are, it seems like they're always representing our conference in the playoffs and even state championships in the past 5 or 6 years. So it was nice to finally get there and do something with it.
Oh, no doubt. I remember it was 16 and 17 when I was at Riverside, man, we went 4-6 twice, but you know, we had to play Capital, Spring Valley, you know, those kind of guys, like South Charleston, you know, and I know what you're talking about, man. You just get beat up. Like, that was the MSAC, you know, same thing with the Big Ten. Like, you're just trying to survive some weeks and just try to get to the next one. Then we were so smart, we scheduled Morgantown as our, like, non-conference team. We lost to them in 15-16 and beat them in 17, but, man, that's a heck of a program there. Coach, you guys were single wing. Like, when your dad was there, weren't you all single wing? Was that – I'd heard that. I wanted to talk to you about that a little bit.
Yeah, when I was playing, we were wing T. We ran the jet series, Chuck Clausing, Cumberland University. Dad got that from a clinic and just ran with it, and he ran that from, I want to say, 2000 to 2010. And Tyler Ferris came on staff, and he played for Dad, and he was part of that 03 playoff team. And his brother and Jay, his brother, his good buddy, Jeremy Haymore, they're just single wing fanatics. And Tyler kept talking to Dad about installing it. In 2010, they did put a couple plays in at the end of the year, and 11 and 12, that was our base. And we went to back-to-back playoff years, and it was definitely something special because nobody had seen it. And I think it was tough to prepare for. And when you got the kids that are able to run it efficiently, I mean, it'll go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt, man. That's awesome. I met Coach Fairs before we played Morgantown 2017. Yeah. And I just thought he was an excellent coach because they were like, that was a wild situation. So like Logan Holgerson was their quarterback in the summer. Right. Then he left and transferred. And so they were like, we don't have a quarterback. So they had to go single wing. Then he came back.
Yeah.
And then they had to kind of like morph it. And we were talking before the game. He's like, man, this is a wild year. I said, that sounds crazy, man.
Yeah. You got a quarterback that has grown up in the air raid system. And then now you got a coach that is pretty much a single wing savant and he just puts it in. But Tyler, he's an amazing coach and a good friend of mine. And, if you want to talk about single wing, he's the guy to pick his brain because that's his baby. And I mean, Bridgeport, they scored a ridiculous amount of points this year running the single wing. And I know he'll do a great job being the head guy there now.
Heck yeah, Coach. Coach Richardson told me, like, defensively, you guys are doing a lot of like tight front stuff or some tight front coverage stuff. And I'd love you to just kind of just talk about that. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, and I've always morphed my defense around what I felt like our strengths were. Mm-hmm. So my first year in 15 as a DC, we ran a 4-3 quarters cover, and it was I pretty much stole everything from Coach Narduzzi, who was at Michigan State then, now at Pitt. And then the next year we had a couple more athletes. We ran a 4-2-5. And then the last 2 years, we've had not not a whole lot of size up front, not a whole lot of depth, and a lot more DBs. So we went more tight front, like Baylor and Iowa State guys are in the Big 12, what they run. So, yeah, just a tight front. I mean, we ran just a 404, what typically those guys are running. And it really just depends on the week and who you have. And if you want to crowd the box, you can bring that strong and that jack up and have them be conflict players and get them into the run and the pass. And like I said, I just feel like as a defensive coordinator, you really have to tune your defense to the skill set of your guys. And with the amount of DBs that we had, that's kind of what we did. And ran some different coverages. We really like to run like a trap cover where the corner will carry one until he's going to be out leveraged by two, and then he sits and free safety plays over top and has outside third, and that strong safety is trying to get underneath one and carry vert of two if that's the case. But really just try to be multiple, but at the same time not trying to overload the kids with different coverages. So really felt like we were able to play fast with that defense. And it's nice because you can manipulate that front. We had an all-state caliber linebacker. He was second team all-state, and TJ Guire. And we would like to move that nose and to his side. That way he didn't have a gap responsible. So he was actually able to just read that guard and fly. And I think he's top five in our tackle list. So he really flourished in that defense.
That's awesome, Coach. Coach, do you two gap much out of your odd stuff, or is it more like single gap for y'all?
Yeah, it's more single gaps. Like I said, we don't have those meat eaters that can really eat up gaps. One thing I learned from Coach Ty Gower, he's in I think he's in Oklahoma. Well, he's in Texas now at Princeton, and I talked to him on the phone, and he's a big tight guy, and he taught me what he does with his nose, and he teaches a jet and a lag technique. So the jet technique, you're attacking that front shoulder of the center, trying to get in that gap. And the lag technique, you're essentially doing the same thing, but it's almost like a box out in basketball, to where you're working your butt toward that guard and trying to occupy him. That way he can't climb to second level. Like I said, I feel like all the ideas are stolen. So Coach Gower was a huge resource, and Coach Gaylor, who's at Jenks in Oklahoma, he's a big tight front guy. So anything that they put on Twitter, I made sure that I was bookmarking in my Twitter and trying to incorporate it with what we were doing.
Oh, no doubt. Twitter is just like one of the best places to find information. And just like you said, steal those ideas, man. Goodness gracious. It's awesome for that for us football, because it's like a free clinic every day if you want it.
Yeah,
you
know? It is. Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's drills or simulated pressures or different looks and coverages, whatever it is. I mean, my bookmarks are full of stuff that I took from people and tried to incorporate with what we were doing.
Yeah, no doubt. You like being a head coach, like what was your like offensive philosophy? How did that mesh together? I love asking that question to people. Like, how do you mesh those together? Cause I think they got to fit if you're going to be a, you know, successful program, like you obviously have run.
Yeah, it was tough because, the first 2 years, my offensive coordinator, he was on that 2011 team, and he was a single wing guy, and we ran single wing, and he wasn't able to be with us in 19. So I promoted Zach Neff as offensive coordinator, and I told him that I wanted to go back to the jet series, and he implemented it well, and we had the guys that could run it, and we graduated a couple guys, but got a couple guys this year. And we just felt like it fit our system well. And the guys bought in, and it's, when you break it down, it's a pretty simple offense to run. And I feel like the kids executed it pretty well.
No doubt. I mean, so when you're saying jet series, like obviously running jet, are you running like belly to the jet, or, you know, some people call that lead, and then like counter away, or how do you guys series that?
Well, our biggest plays were obviously jet sweep and trap and cross. So cross, you typically run it to the nub side with the motion. Depending on what the defense gives you, you can either wide block it or traditional cross block. Your wing will wrap inside the B gap and take on the backer in the B gap. And that was a huge play for us. And then six trap was big. You get it down and your guard comes and kicks out. I mean, it's regular trap, but it's nice to have certain plays that you can run with motion, without motion. You can mix and match them. So I really felt like that made us multiple out of our different sets, because we could run, like I said, with motion, without motion, and still run the same stuff.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. That's good stuff. I mean, I think any offense is good systematic. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Like it has to all kind of like fit together. That's what I guess I mean by systematic.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I mean, we even took pieces from like triple option. Like we were huge at running midline. Our quarterback, he was our quarterback for 2 years, and he was really getting the hang of it in the latter part of his first year running midline. And it was a huge play for us this year. Rodney, I think he was, I want to say he was our leading rusher as a quarterback. And I mean, we didn't run boots, naked boots or anything. It was off the midline, and it was nice because if we didn't get the look that we liked, we would just make a Florida call, and Florida meant flip. So if we were running it to the zero, we'd flip it and run it to the one. And that was something we repped a lot, and it really helped us out. And midline was a huge play for us this year.
Mm-hmm. Man, I remember we were preparing for a playoff team in 2014, and they ran midline. Our head coach, I was a DC at the time, and our head coach is like, how do we get an extra hat? I'm like, you don't, man. You got to beat a block if you're getting midline, because they're reading the guy. You know, it's an interior deal. Do you guys insert anybody on midline? Like, you take your wing and insert them in there?
No, it's if it all depends on the guard. If he has a free release, he's going to go to the backer. If he's kind of walled off by a three tech, he's going to kind of arc release and go to that backer. But it is a quick hitter. I mean, it's 2 6-inch steps out of our quarterback, and he's reading that one or that three technique the whole time. And if that nose crashes, he's pulling. And if he stays and reads, he's giving it to the fullback. So, I mean, it was a quick hitting play, and it really worked out for us. And Rodney got a lot of huge gains off of it, because TJ was, I mean, he's 6'4", 200 pounds as our fullback, and teams were really keying on him, hitting it up the middle, and those noses would wrap TJ up, and Rodney would slip right behind him and get a lot of big gains off of it.
Coach, a 6'4", 200-pound fullback. I think we'd, like, key the whole defense on that guy.
Yeah, we hand-timed him at, what was it, like a 4-5 something. He's a freak. He's going to Fairmont to play next year, and I'm excited to see him play.
That's awesome. Coach, I got to ask, how did you play a whole year on the road? Like, I really – like, that's a – like, how did you do that? I mean, that's unique for sure.
Yeah, it was – I mean, with everything else that was going on, it was just like adding it to the plate. So, and when I talked to the coaches about it, I told them that we really had to be up, because the kids were going to feed off of our energy and how we felt about the whole situation. So We just tried to make it into a positive. And one quote that I stole from General Patton was, "I'm a soldier. I fight where I'm told, and I win where I fight." And that was kind of our mantra, because we knew we weren't playing at home, and we had to play on the road, and that was the hand that we were dealt. And like Sissonville, I think our game was their sixth game, so we were at least lucky enough to be playing almost every week. And a lot of teams, especially in the southern part of the state, didn't have that fortune. So we looked at it as a positive that we were actually getting to play when other teams weren't. So we need to be thankful, even though the situation wasn't ideal.
Yeah, no doubt, man. That's awesome. I can feel you on it, because I coached a place in 2011. We didn't have a home field. We practiced in a church's like softball outfield. Coach, that's real. Eagles U Academy. But like kind of similar situation. Like we had like one of the best seasons of school history. We went like 9-3 or something like that. But it was like you talked about, you can't control any of that. You just got to keep going. And that's it, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of what we talked about with the kids. Just take it week by week, and wherever we play, we're going to give it our best effort and try to bring back a W to Elkins.
That's awesome, man. Coach, as we land the plane on this, I would love just some wisdom for like younger coaches trying to get into the profession. Cause I feel like that's usually like questions I get on Twitter or whatever. Like, how do you get into coaching? So what's some good nuggets you could give to them, if you don't mind?
Well, I think once you're on staff, it doesn't matter what position you are, or that you hold on that team, that you need to prepare as if you're a coordinator. I was lucky enough to see how my dad prepared for games. And even as a freshman defensive coordinator, I prepared the same way as I did as a varsity DC. So whatever position you hold, you need to make sure that you're carrying that out, because ultimately if you're serious about the coaching profession, you're going to move up through the ranks. So you need to make sure that whatever level you're at, that you're preparing the best that you can. That way, when your number is called, you're ready. You don't have to get ready.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. I love that you said that, because I feel like a lot of people wait till they get like the coordinator title to like put in extra work. And I think that if you just put in the extra work, your opportunity will come. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when I found out that I was going to be coordinator in 15, I was scared to death. But after a while, I was like, well, I've already prepared for this. And it was essentially going through the same thing that I'd already done as a freshman DC. And once I settled myself down, it was the same thing. So just really preparing yourself to move to that next level, and don't be afraid to ask questions. I think that's one thing, especially, and even me, I mean, on Twitter, if coaches are using different lingo or talking about things you have no clue what they're talking about, ask them about it. Cause I haven't found once that those guys have blown me off. It doesn't matter what level they're at or how much success they've had. They're always willing to help another coach in any way. So don't be afraid to ask questions, because that's not a sign of weakness. If you try to cover it up and act like you know what you're doing and you really don't, you're going to get exposed. So really just ask questions and try to be a sponge, because when you're in that position, now your kids are going to benefit from you and your knowledge. You don't have to blow smoke, that you actually know what you're talking about.
Coach, that's awesome. That is great wisdom. Man, I appreciate you coming on after putting the kid down. And I appreciate your wisdom and your time, Coach. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Coach.